Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It's 5:09 and good morning, everyone. It's March 9th, 2016. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell and welcome to your Wednesday. Lots to talk about today, including the fall from grace from one of tennis's brightest stars, the business of sports, the focus later in the broadcast today. Mark Harmon is here with us on The Opening Bell. We're also going to be visiting the just-ended Home and Housewares, International Home and Housewares show, and showing you some of the new products that will be making it to market soon for your house and home. But first, your global intel this morning on the markets. Most Asian stocks are weaker today. Investors are waiting to see what steps policymakers might take to help revive flagging growth during a European Central Bank meeting tomorrow. There was also a little bit of hint today about how the Queen of England feels about Brexit, the breaking of the European Union by Great Britain. There is a report that she is in favor of that. We don't know how that's going to direct policy, but it certainly is making some waves in Europe today. Benchmark U.S. crude has risen 4 cents today to $36.54 a barrel in electronic trading on the Merc. The contract fell $1.40 overnight, and yesterday, Brent crude, which is used to price international oils, dipped about 10 cents. On the day ahead today, it is a light day for economic reports. The only major one out today on the calendar, the Commerce Department is going to report on wholesale trade inventories for January. U.S. wholesale businesses have cut their stockpiles and registered lower sales for 3 straight months. In December, wholesale inventories fell 0.1%, and in December, they fell as well. In November, they fell 0.4%. Falling inventories are a drag on economic growth. From October through December, businesses cut spending on stockpiles to trim unwanted inventories. That effort cut growth, and this report today will indicate whether or not that might be going in the opposite direction. Some economists are optimistic that the inventory cutbacks are nearing an end and businesses will soon begin to restock empty shelves. Certainly, when you look at the jobs report, they are certainly hiring. That would indicate they're expecting more sales, and so they're going to have to fill their inventories. Also today, the White House is adding 15 new communities to its tech hire initiative for getting low-skilled workers back into the economy. The expansion comes a year after President Obama announced the program and days before he scheduled to speak at the South by Southwest Technology Festival in Austin, Texas. The initiative pairs private employers with cities and states to create accelerated training programs such as coding boot camps. The newest communities include 2 states, Hawaii and Virginia, 13 cities from Flint, Michigan to Jackson, Mississippi, although no federal money is tied in with this program. There's also some concerning news today about Medicare and Medicare drugs in particular. Medicare proposing new ways to pay for drugs administered in a doctor's office, including many chemotherapy medications. The chief medical officer of Medicaid said that Medicare plans to begin testing the new approach later this year. The government won't be telling doctors which drugs to prescribe. Instead, the goal is to address financial incentives in the current payment system that can encourage the use of a more expensive drug when a cheaper medication is just as effective. Drugs administered in a doctor's office or outpatient hospital department cost Medicare about $20 billion in 2015. But that's just a fraction of what the program spends each year on prescription medication. Chicago-based United Airlines is in the middle of a big fight. 2 investment funds with major stakes in United Continental Holdings launched an effort yesterday that would propose a slate of directors led by industry legend Gordon Bethune to shake up the board of the poorly performing airline. This is on the table, on the plate, as the CEO of United, Oscar Munoz, returns to work March 14th after having a heart transplant. This fight front and center, it actually is for the future of United, he says, and others in the company say, because they have been performing better since Munoz took over, and he'd like to continue that. Reuters reporter Alwyn Scott has been covering this and says this is going to be a prickly situation.
Since the crash in 2008, the economic crash, there's been a turnaround in the airline industry. Airlines are making more money, the exception being United. It's not done as well as the others. It's had problems with its computer system after its merger with Continental. It's had problems with employee morale, and it's had problems keeping customers because the service on the airline has suffered.
Par Capital Management, Inc. and Altimeter Capital Management, which together own about 7% of the second largest U.S. airline, said it is underqualified, ineffective, complacent, and entrenched. That's what they said about the board members. It has caused years of, in their words, inexcusable company underperformance and is in need of an overhaul. So we're going to be watching that very closely today. Again, a fight over United. Couldn't come at a worse time for the CEO, Oscar Munoz, who's returning miraculously almost after having open-heart surgery, having actually a heart transplant earlier this year. United stock is lower. It has been lower for the last 6 months or so and is underperforming again this morning on pre-market trade. So that's your global intel. This is the opening bell. Coming up in the program, the International Housewares Home Show has just wrapped up at McCormick Place. There are some nifty new gadgets for your home. We're going to take you there next in our next segment and let you see and let you hear about some of the best items that kind of rose to the top after this show came to a close. That's next. But first, it's time for traffic. And good morning, Mary Vandeville.
ABC News, Wall Street Now. U.S. stocks posted losses on Tuesday. The Dow closed down 110 points to 16,963. The S&P 500 fell just 1 percentage point to 1979. The Nasdaq shed 60 points. Benchmark crude oil was down $1.64 a barrel. Aerospace giant Lockheed Martin is working to trim its workforce by about 1,000 people. Buyout offers are being made to mid-level salaried employees around the country. It comes even as Lockheed Martin ramps up production of the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. Thousands of people have had their prepaid debit cards frozen when they've tried to direct their tax refunds into their accounts. It's the result of financial industry efforts to combat an escalation in tax fraud. It's also keeping some people from gaining access to their own money. One small step for ordinary people. Private space company Blue Origin expects to launch its first human test flights in just 2 years. Company founder Jeff Bezos says thousands of potential passengers already have expressed an interest in taking a suborbital trip into space. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. It's 520. The International Home and Housewares Show has just wrapped up in Chicago. The annual event showcases many new and improved items from well-known household companies and really sets the stage for the coming year in terms of what you might find on the shelves for home and house and home. Perry Reynolds of the Housewares organization says this is always a big event, not only here in the United States, but around the world.
All of the needs that we serve are the kinds of things that we all do every day. We cook, we clean, we organize our homes. It's going to continue. The question is, what are the kinds of products that will win or lose?
And the big question this year is, how do you serve millennials? That was one of the topics of the final organizational meeting of this group. They say new research from the studies that they've done shows that millennials themselves are interested in buying things for their homes. Unfortunately, they don't have homes yet. But the survey does find that 70% of millennials are thinking about this in the future. 33% do plan to perhaps buy a home. They do rent, and so 70% of these millennials are preferring lifestyle furnitures to traditional types of furnitures. They're unafraid to combine decorating styles with rustic contemporary being a favorite. A majority of millennials reported vacuuming every day. That's kind of weird. When it comes to glassware design, the most important feature, contemporary looks, are most popular. And durability is also a big deal. Perry Reynolds says the millennials will be a big target audience for housewares and homewares companies.
The millennials are looking for things that sort of help define them. And my sense is that they want well-designed product.
And one of those products that was kind of popular at the show this year was the Pancake Bot. It is a machine that makes 3D pancakes.
We've been around the world showing it to different people. People are talking about having it in their cafes, in their restaurants, in their homes, all over different places. So we're really excited about it.
There was also something called the Tidy Snap. It's something that Allison Trindale invented herself.
You know, the routine at night, you pick your clothes up for the next day, and the kids are rifling through their drawers, and they're throwing clean clothes on the floor, and I kind of just lost it and came downstairs. My husband's an engineer, and I said, look, you're an engineer. Fix this.
And so she developed Tidy Snap. It's, remember those things that you snap on your arms, and it sort of makes a bracelet? Well, she's made those to snap on to counters and sinks and that sort of thing. Very popular at the Houseware Show this year. WGN's David Miranda went to pay a visit to the International Houseware Show before it wrapped up. He talked to the owners of a company called Westex, also a company called Zach Designs, and also a company called Holster Brands. These were some of the popular items that were at the Houseware shows. And here's David's report.
This is super spectacular, guys. It's something new to resist heat, to resist water.
So there's a couple of really interesting items that we have come up with our exclusive European partners. Mm-hmm. One is this ironing board cover that comes on this board. It is a coated cotton stylish cover, but what we've implemented is two really unique features. When you iron, you burn some filaments of cotton. And essentially what we have is this patented silicone strip that you run over two or three times, and ironing becomes really a breeze after that. It cleans the sulfate of your iron. And then if you want to take a break, there's no iron rest needed because you have a fiberglass rest area over here that you can leave a hot iron on, and it will retain up to three times the heat of any standard iron. What we've done is we've taken that technology and we've applied it on a smaller scale to what we call our safety heat shield. And essentially, when people are ironing, they want to take a break, or when you walk out of the house and you want to put things away, the worst thing to do is to leave a hot iron. Mm-hmm. And you know that
fire hazard there.
That's it. And you know it's going to be safe, essentially, if you basically put it in here. It's really easy to use. One step, two step, three step, and four. And what this does is this is a hot iron. It's on. You can actually hold this in the palm of your hand, and it will not go through, and it will never burn through. So it's a pretty unique, completely patented solution that's only available from Westex.
Chris Cogley, and I see a very interesting section you have here. Chris, how are you?
Great. How about yourself?
Very good. I know kids will definitely love this section.
Yes. You know, we kind of designed this as the whole focus of our company is to make mealtime fun for, mm-hmm. for people of all ages. And so that's kind of what we're looking at as far as different ages and kind of what their mealtime needs are and how we can make that fun for them.
And you guys got even the most recent movies as well.
We do. We work with a lot of the top licensors across the country and try to make bring those characters to life at every meal.
And is everything porcelain that we see here?
No, we have a lot of different varieties. We have glass and ceramics, as well as the vast majority of what we do is melamine, especially for the kids. That's more durable for tables and things like that.
This gal started Holster Brand. She was sharing a pedestal sink with her husband, so she created a silicone suction that goes on the side of a counter or any smooth spot.
So these are little silicone holders that'll stick on any smooth surface. They've got holes in the bottom for drainage. You can put your makeup, or you could put a bar of soap or like a sponge over here in the kitchen sink, and it'll just drain and dry, and they just stick on anything that's smooth.
So like right here.
Super simple.
Yeah. So it could be for bathroom,
yep,
or kitchen.
Kitchens.
Garage,
yep.
Maybe.
Your office. Yeah,
ooh,
garage. Yeah. There's tons of applications. Your boat, wherever.
Camping.
Yeah, smooth
surface.
I thought
it had a magnet. It doesn't have
nope.
a magnet,
nope,
does
it's
it?
Just silicone. Yeah.
So where can people find this Holster?
These are available in Kroger stores, mm-hmm. nationwide. You can find them on our website. We're on Amazon. We have different product lines. So we're rolling out with this one back here. So these are hold tools while they're hot. So this can be on, and you can be like doing your hair and putting it in, and super helpful.
WGN's David Miranda at the International Home and Houseware Show that just wrapped up in Chicago. Talking again with Holster Brands. They're at the end, holsterbrands.com. Also, Christopher Cogley from Zach.com and also from Westex.com. By the way, in closing on this, we want to let you know that there are experts in this area, and here are the trends that they've figured out for this coming year in all of these things. Color Pantone has revealed two new colors this year. There's sort of a rose quartz and serenity. It's a cool blue. Also a coffee color. And carbonation continues to be a big trend. Keurig is on the market now with single soda pods, sort of like the little coffee systems. So those are two of the big things that are coming in home and housewares. The International Housewares Homeware Show just wrapping up in Chicago. It's 5:27. This is the opening bell, and off to the newsroom. Vic Vaughn standing by with a look at what's coming up. Vic?
Some new details surfacing in the murder case of 9-year-old Tyshawn Lee. This was the execution-style shooting that happened last November. Now learning that a fellow inmate of the accused trigger man worked with authorities to bring charges. We'll have all that coming up.
All right, Vic, it's 5:27 on the opening bell.
From ABC News, Tech Trends. 1 in 5 American adolescents has a diagnosable mental health disorder.
And the vast majority of those kids that need help aren't getting any help. And even the ones who are getting help, a lot of that help is insufficient and inadequate.
That's what led two working moms to create the PsycE app. Co-founder Jennifer Oko describes it as a safe, comfortable universe without stigma.
And the idea is that if we really want to help kids, we need to meet them where they are. And as you know, most kids are on their mobile devices.
Designed with the help of medical professionals, the app features a series of testimonial videos and mini documentaries, a treatment tracker to follow their progress, and perhaps most important, a safe, anonymous social network.
Peer-to-peer support has been proven time and again to be one of the most effective ways of addressing mental health concerns.
The app is currently seeking crowdfunding through an Indiegogo campaign
to give our kids a way to help themselves.
More information is available through psychmedia.net. With Tech Trends, I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Hello, this is Mitt Romney calling.
Well, I can only speak for myself. I intend to support the nominee of our party.
But I just want to take this opportunity to thank the people of Michigan who kind of repudiated the polls that had us 20, 25 points down a few days ago, who repudiated the pundits who said that Bernie Sanders was not going anywhere.
We have something special going in the Republican Party, and unfortunately, the people in the party, they call them the elites or they call them whatever they call them, but those are the people that don't respect it yet.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. Good morning. This is one of our final segments here on the program this morning. We're going to be talking about the fall from grace of one of the best players in tennis, Maria Sharapova, who's admitted to testing positive for drugs at the Australian Open this year. And there is a lot of fallout today. She is arguably one of the world's most marketable female athletes and is paying a high price with sponsors, many of whom have dropped her. Many are considering that. Yesterday, we heard from one of her tennis allies, I guess you could say, or at least one of her tennis fellow tennis players, former tennis player Chris Evert, talking about this, says that there are a few players out there who have come to Sharapova's support, and that is basically because she doesn't really have a lot of friends on the tour. Here's what Chris Evert said yesterday.
She doesn't have a lot of close friendships on the tour. She's made that known that she can't be friends with the players. Her friendships are outside the tennis world. She's isolated herself. So it's hard. I'm not seeing a lot of support from a lot of the players. I think everyone is just being mum about the subject right now, whether it's shock or whether it's, you know, they don't want to become involved or have an opinion about it. It's sort of surprising that not a lot of players have shown their support for her.
Well, and the sponsors, too, are leaving, or some of them in droves, considering that as well. Let's bring in Mark Carman, who is one of our sports guys here at WGN, just back from boot camp, the big Marine guy over here. And Dave Ennett is here as well. Mark, this is, I don't even know where to begin with this, because you have such a high-profile tennis player, a high-profile athlete, who just seems to be out there hanging in the wind.
Well, good morning, Steve. She's been the top earner on the women's tour for 11 years, was last year, so very popular, and people know her from the court, but they also know her from her candy line, Sharapova. And her sponsors are lining up. They're not dropping her. They're suspending their relationship. So in theory, they could come back. The most notable being Nike and Porsche. You would think that a lot of times these athletes get the benefit of the doubt, at least for a minute. Many prominent athletes, Tiger Woods, you know, somebody of that ilk, get the benefit of the doubt. She has not, which to me speaks more to right now her marketability more than what she's done. And the fact that most people thought when she called this announcement that she was going to retire. because she said she wasn't going to play past 30. She's 28. She's been injured. So that was what everyone thought, and so this kind of came out of left field, but quickly sponsors are running from her. I think that's more about how much money she's making than more than what's going on here. That's just my intuition around it.
Just a little background. She says that she's been taking a drug called Meldonium,
right?
And she's been taking it under a doctor's care for many years. It's for a regular EKG, irregular EKG. Dave, is she paying a price for some of the past misdeeds of athletes like Lance Armstrong, perhaps?
Well, I think there is a lot of focus on performance enhancers and doping. And, yeah, I think that's a real good point. I think she is paying a price for that. These athletes are all under greater scrutiny. At the same time, she knows she's going to be tested for this. What her defense has been is that this had not been on the list of banned substances, this Meldonium, up until January 1st of this year. She's been taking it for 10 years. Now, the manufacturers of the drug have come out and said that this is normally used in a 4 to 6 week regimen, but a much shorter duration it's used for treatment. So she's saying 10 years, and again, I guess every individual would be different, but the drug company appears to be saying, wait a minute, you don't use this drug for 10 years. That's not what it's designed for.
Mark, is there a legal fight here that she might be able to wage, do you think?
She's going to wage it. There's no doubt about it, Steve. She could be suspended for, there's 3 degrees of fault. If they judge it that she was taking it and knew she was taking it and did it intentionally, they'll suspend her from 16 to 24 months. A normal degree of fault, wherever you fall under, whatever that means, is 8 to 16 months. And then you have the light degree, which is what she's claiming, was taking it, didn't realize that it was put on the ban list, 0 to 8 months. And there's precedent for Marin Cilic, who's one of the top players on the men's tour. He had a suspension reduced from 9 to 4 months. I mean, she wants to play in the Olympics in 2016, which would be a great way for her to end her career. A 2-year ban would keep her out of that.
Even a shorter ban would keep her out of that.
Exactly.
I mean, it's this summer. You're talking August.
Right. She's still hoping that she'll be able to play this summer, which is most definitely in doubt. Even in the last part, the didn't know what she was doing, 0 to 8 months that I just said. Mm-hmm. So it's really, for tennis, it's a nightmare, actually, because this is one of your most prominent players. You've just had a little bit of a gambling scandal as well. And I think a lot of the players on the tour who are not coming to her defense, Maria not the most popular person out there, and I think people on the tour know that, listen, they play 5 hours, they have maybe a day off, they play again. A lot of the top players are viewed to be doing something to allow them to be out there to that level.
There is, obviously, there are a lot of good athletes, most of them good, follow-the-rules athletes, but, you know, when we have stories like this, you know, I'm looking at a CNN story here, it goes down the list of athletes who've, you know, unfortunately, Kobe Bryant, Oscar Pistorius, Michael Vick, Tiger Woods, the FIFA thing, Lance Armstrong. Is it just that we're seeing world sports just fed up with this?
You know, you mentioned some names there that went through some very difficult public scrutiny. Kobe Bryant, great example. Kobe Bryant now is getting, he's on his farewell tour. He's getting a hero's welcome every place he goes in the NBA. I don't know how long these things really stick. I think if Tiger Woods goes and wins a major, and there's a great debate over whether he will win a major again, but if he does, I think the fans are going to take to him as they did even before his scandal.
We're going to continue this conversation in just a minute. We need to take a break for traffic, though. Here's Mary Vandeville.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
549 on the markets this morning. The Dow futures are pointing to an open that could be higher later this morning, but we know that story. A lot can change before 8:30. Up 83 this hour. S&P futures up about 10. NASDAQ futures up 23. The latest on the commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Morning, and they're saying happy birthday on Wall Street today. Today marks the 7th anniversary of the beginning of what they're calling this bull market. And it's had a fairly good life, too, 84 months, third longest on record, with the average lasting slightly less than 59 months, according to S&P Dow Jones indices. So happy 7th birthday to the current bull market. Mercantile Exchange live cattle futures closed higher yesterday. Traders going out of the nearby positions to avoid taking delivery, and packers seem to be bidding more aggressively than expected in the U.S. Southern Plains. And as we look at closing prices yesterday, the nearby lean hog contract down 32 cents at $69.72, but the April live cattle contract gained $1.25, and the April feeder cattle contract gained 95 cents per hundredweight for the day. You have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You too. We're going to finish our conversation here with Mark Carman at The Carm on Twitter. Mark, you know, we talk about the Sharapova case and all the other bad actors that we've seen in sports. Is she getting a fair shake compared to some of the other, and I'm talking specifically about the guys that have gone through some of this?
Well, here, look, with Nike dropping her, one of the more high-profile Nike guys was Lance Armstrong, right? But Lance maintained his innocence, right? So they just stuck by him. We believe you, Lance. We believe you, Lance. We believe you, Lance, despite mounting evidence. Maria is actually admitting that she did it, so it's a little bit of a different take here. But the other side of it is Maria's been with Nike since she was 11 years old, and you can easily, to me at least, explain away somebody who's taken a drug and then all of a sudden it got on the ban list. However, she's got a ton of people that work for her, and this absolutely should have been known. And the way that people are coming out in the tennis community against her makes it look like she knew what she was doing. And so to say that she's getting an unfair shake, to me it was shocking that the sponsorships were suspending. But at the end of the day, she did admit it, so I think it's a little bit different.
Is there redemption possible? I mean, we've seen a lot of these.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, Steve. She listen, we'll see if she gets back on the court and starts winning and does whatever. I don't know what she can do as far as community service, something along those lines. People forgive and forget very quickly, and I don't really think the public looks at this as that big of a deal. I really don't.
Mark Carman at The Carm on Twitter, a weekend host here at WGN Radio from our sports department as well. Good of you to be with us on the opening bell, as always.
My pleasure, Steve.
The business of sports. It's 5:53 now on the opening bell. Spring is in the air, and that means the Chicago Botanic Garden will soon be blooming with spectacular color. In a new WGN series on the opening bell on interesting jobs across Chicago, WGN's Kim Gordon does some digging on who does that.
Who does that?
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 Inch by inch, row by row, I'm gonna make this garden.
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. The process to pick the right color palette and layout is done way in advance, like a year.
We're growing about 65,000 spring annuals. So that includes the vegetables and all the plants that are used for hanging baskets and the containers and everything that you see in the components to it.
Tim Pollock is a floriculturist. He describes the rainbow of colors you'll see this spring.
We have a lot of yellow. We have a kind of a lighter pink, very pastel this spring. There's always a predominance of orange. We've been using a lot more orange. Orange is kind of a trendy color right now.
Chris Jarankowski has been at this job for 39 years and puts the final stamp of approval on the layouts. Now here's what you won't see in the 26 gardens.
I don't like to see a lot of white in spring, you know, spring flies. We've been looking at white all winter long, or primary colors, like a lot of red and yellow together. We can do better than that.
I'll find my way in.
You know, there's a lot more to it than just picking the right color.
The most fun is looking at the public, watching. And they're just going crazy over it. They're taking pictures, they're doing selfies, and that's the most rewarding.
I'm Kim Gordon, and now you know who does that.
And stay tuned to the opening bell. Kim's going to come back regularly with this series. Who does that for us here on the opening bell? That's our program for today. We want to remind you it's going to be a busy morning on the Steve Cochran Show at 7:10. Bernie Sanders, fresh from his win in Michigan, is on the program. Make sure you set your clock for that and tune in to the Steve Cochran Show, which is coming up next. That's the opening bell for this morning. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. And we want to thank our producer this morning, Mary Sandberg, production help from Ross Cochran, our engineer, Ben Cortez. You have a great day.